Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Fry with a 1-0 pitch. Here it comes. Swinging a ground ball left side. Backhanded by Anderson. Long throw to first. He beat it. Safe. The ball dropped anyway, and the Red Sox walk it off. They win it 6-5. Marco Hernandez with a game winner, a walk-off, a runoff in this case, really, as he hit a ball to deep short. Anderson did all he could. He made a nice backhand stab, threw across his body. It was a hit for Marco, and the Red Sox win it 6-5.
Nice walk-off last night as the Red Sox get to a terrific pitcher who had won 10 games going into last night's game. Time for us to talk to Red Sox manager Alex Cora. It's brought to you by Arbella Insurance and by Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network. Good to see you. How you doing?
See you guys.
All right?
I'm doing good.
A little warm down here, huh? A little warm and humid today.
Yeah, a little bit humid.
Yeah, you might have to wait. Might have to wait around to play a little bit, but you'll eventually get it in.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with last night. So you lose 2 out of 3 over the weekend, and then last night we see something that you don't normally see. You see a manager go out to the mound. Looks like he's just going to tell his relief pitcher, "This is what you need to throw." And next thing you know, you go to the bullpen when there's a 3-2 count at the plate. What was that about?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those. We've been thinking about it for a while now. In 2011 or 10, and this is where it started. I'm playing winter ball. It's ninth inning of a game. Man at first, no outs, 0-2 count, and poof, the lights go off. You know, they cancel the game. They suspended the game, so we have to play the game the next day. So 0-2 the whole night, I'm thinking about this. 0-2, what am I going to do? Am I going to bunt? Am I going to take? Am I going to swing? Which pitch I'm going to see? And it was the most uncomfortable bat of my life. And I had a lot of uncomfortable bats in my life. And kind of like thinking ahead, you know, I said, well, I might manage, whatever. I always thought about that bat, going back to that one. And yesterday was one of those that if McCann hits a double, we were going to lefty. He gets a single. He advanced on a wild pitch to second. And actually, I was one pitch late, you know, because I should have done it right away. He gets to second. Next pitch is a breaking ball. And knowing John Jay, he's a guy that he might expand his zone. He can stay back on the breaking ball and just make contact, and he gets a single. So we got the lefty ready for him. I'm like, you know what? We're going with him. We're going right here. I go to the mound. I tell Brew in a kind of like sarcastic way, you know, like everybody comes in. And whenever I go to the mound, it's funny. Xander is the one that really wants to hear what's going on. You know, like,
why are you over here?
I go, okay, what's going on? And I say, hey, boys, hang in there with your crazy manager. And they're like, huh? I'm like, this is going on. I don't want this guy to stay back on a breaking ball or a bad pitch and put it in play. So I got Taylor ready. Brew, hang in here with me. Taylor, you come in. So he's like, he's all cool. Taylor, he's coming in, and his eyes are huge. Like, I'm like, oh, God, I got to explain this to this kid now. And I go, hey, this is the situation. You got John Jay. You got first base open. We like the next matchup, too, against you. It's Moncada. So it's a kill pitch, what we call. It's either swing and miss pitch or you walk him. And him and Christian, they got together. It was a sinker inside, 96-97, and John Jay did a good job taking the pitch. And then we move on to the next hitter, and we got the out. We were a little bit limited in the bullpen yesterday, so that's why we stayed with Brewer against Jay with men at first, too. And one thing for sure, Taylor's doing an outstanding job, and it worked out for us.
So with Taylor, though, does he have any idea? Did you tell anybody? You said you've been talking
about
this for a month and a half. Did anyone know, had any idea that this was a possibility, like pregame meeting? Just in case we get a 3-2 count, I don't like what I see, I'm going to put Taylor in?
CB, our bullpen coach, Craig Bjornsson, he worked with me in Houston. He's here with us. He's been here for 2 years with us. And he had a pretty good idea that there's a pretty good chance that I'll do that during the game. You know, I've been telling Dana and been telling Ron Renicki about it, and yesterday he felt that it was the perfect situation for that. And, you know, it didn't work at the moment there, but it's something that you have to keep in mind. And you never know. Like, he throws a good slider there, and he strikes him out. You know, he puts a thought on the other manager. You know, I look at Renteria. He had options, too. He could pinch hit. But
3-2 pinch hit?
Imagine that, you know. Like, if he pinch hits, we walk the guy, they lose a hitter, they lose a player, and then we get the matchup that we want. It's one of those that actually Tony La Russa texted me last night, and he's like, good job. I'm like, why? And he's like, you show urgency. You know, that's the way you have to play it now.
It's Tony's style.
I'm like, oh, cool.
Well, what about Brewer, though? Was he – I could see that situation. I could see a guy getting – I guess I may have been pissed off about that.
3-2 maybe, count, maybe. But he understood the situation. Yeah. And it was more about, you know, his stuff is good. He's actually really good against lefties. But it's about the guy at the plate that he doesn't swing and miss too much. He can, you know, just hit it up the end of the bat. It's a bloop single, and they score a run. But it's nothing against Brewer. He's been amazing for us the last month. You know, he's been doing a good job. And he worked out, and I just saw him, you know, everybody's cool. And in the dugout, the reaction was kind of like, what is going on here, you know. But you try to maximize your the talent, you know, and try to put these guys in a situation to be successful, and I felt we did yesterday.
You know, it's interesting you say, you're talking about that kill pitch, right? Swing and miss or a ball. And on Saturday, you know, things didn't go well, right? The four walks in a row with Barnes and Brazier. And in watching that game, I feel like the guys in the bullpen, they go for that kill pitch a lot. It's one of those things where I'm going to try to get the swing and miss out of the zone. If not, it's a ball. No big deal. I go on to the next hitter. And Brazier was struggling throwing strikes. Is there a concern with going to the kill pitch too often as opposed to throwing the ball in the strike zone at times?
Yeah, sometimes there's certain situations that you don't go to the kill pitch. You go to the safety net. You know, it's one of these that I'm learning through the process, you know. We talk about limiting damage, and there are certain situations that you just go to a safety net, a fastball up and away, and the guy might get a single the other way. There's no damage done. There are certain situations that we either won the swing and miss or we move on to the next guy. But sometimes you have to be careful, because if you try to do this too often, then there's a lot of traffic out there, and then you have to be perfect.
Well, because after that game, I mean, I wasn't pleased, obviously. People, yeah. I'm sure you weren't either. I was tweeting that sometimes an opposing hitting coach, when you get to that late situation, it's like if you tell your hitter not to swing, it's not easy to lay off 95 here or curveball down. But if you say don't swing, it feels like you guys are giving guys opportunities for walks.
It's one of those, and it's around the league. There's certain times that we talk. We have this daily meeting with the hitters, and there's certain starters in the league that you kind of like, if you see spin, don't swing, because he will throw out of three breaking balls, maybe one will land in the strike zone, yeah, and the other two are, you know, non-competitive pitches. But it's hard because you don't pick up the spin and you swing at it, and it's all around the league. And you start looking at bullpens, you know, obviously. New York, I think they've done an outstanding job, but you start looking at their games and it's getting...
It's like a walk is better than a hit.
Yeah, you try, because people feel, and we do feel too, like it's not like back in the day that like guys will sit on pitches, okay, let me sit on this breaking ball, and until if I get it, I'll swing at it. If not, I'll take the other ones. I think with the new swings and the swing path, whatever, they're looking for one area only, and if they see it, they swing at it, and that's why I think teams are more aggressive pitching to the edges instead of being attacking in the zone.
We're talking to Alex Cora here at Fenway Park on OMF. So you talk about red on your card when it comes to the bullpen and who you can use and who you can't use, and you've manipulated it around with different guys without having a set guy in the ninth inning. I look at Matt Barnes, and at times he's been very, very good for you. Matter of fact, if you look at it, when he's had at least one day in between relief appearances, he's in the low twos in his earned run average. When you're pitching him back-to-back, it's in the mid-eights. Is that something you constantly have to think about, and has that become a hindrance for you when you get into these games, especially when you get the schedule with no days off?
Yeah, and I think where I'm going now with this answer, we talk about it after the Houston series. The thing with this super reliever, because that's what, you know, he
ace reliever,
yeah. Ace reliever, yeah. Whatever, yeah, they call it, he was facing 3-4-5, 3-4-5, 3-4-5 every single day. And although your stuff is great, those guys are great too, and it has to take something out of you, you know, like, you know, as a closer, you know, they bring you in a nine, you up three, and sometimes it's the 7, 8, 9, and sometimes it's like bases loaded and the tying run is in the on deck circle. Oh, come in, get your save. And as far as like leverage, if you start comparing Maddie's season this year compared to other closers, you know, to closers around the league, maybe, you know, it's not the usage, it's the leverage of the situation. It's not that easy. And we got caught up to, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks here that we had those three starts by our fifth starter, you know, Darwinson and Weber and Smitty the whole week. And we've been chasing our tail, you know, as far as like the bullpen. And we've been playing close games too. And you have to go to those guys. And I agree with you. I agree that, you know, sometimes usage gets, you know, it catches on with him. But at the same time, I think the pressure of pitching against the 3, 4, 5 every single day is not that easy.
But
he can do it.
Does it make it difficult for you to use him? Because you're looking at it saying, he had the 3, 4, 5 last night. What's he going to be like if I bring him out now in a high leverage situation?
Yeah, it's difficult, but now has become a little bit more easier. It's become easier because Workman has become one of the best relievers in the big leagues. And Hembree was throwing the ball the way, you know, the best relievers are throwing. So when he goes down, I felt like structure-wise, it was going to be, you know, more structure. You know, like, okay, we can use this guy against this guy, get this guy, and go from there. And Hembree goes down. You know, Walden have struggled with command lately. You know, he hasn't been as dominant. And we have to use guys in different spot. But at the same time, for the struggles that we have had the last week, all of a sudden Taylor is becoming a guy. You know, we saw that in Minnesota, and we saw that in Baltimore. And Brewer, all of a sudden, is feeling better. So, yeah, I know it doesn't look great, but at the same time, I think we found some arms. And, you know, with Steven coming out, you know, he'll be activated tonight. And then, you know, we'll see what happens the upcoming days, you know, with the organization and what we're going to do. You know, I think we're going to be okay. And going through the stretch, we did find some weapons, and when we're going to use them.
You know, so when you guys lose a game, or especially at home, or you can't finish it out, there's no, you know, you can't drive in runs with runners in scoring position, you know, specifically of Mookie Betts, I hear a lot, and we've talked about it also, trying to figure out what the hell is going on with a guy like Mookie Betts, like, he's lost his edge, he's not playing with a sense of purpose. I mean, I don't see it, because I don't feel like people just turn it off, but I mean, what do you say to people who say, listen, he's different, he's changed, maybe he's concerned with his contract and his numbers? I mean, what do you say when you hear stuff like that?
I think with Mookie, and we talk about it all the time. We talk about it last year. And
you talk about it with him?
With him, like a reminder of it really doesn't matter how you're doing numbers-wise, you still dominate the game. You know, the other day, he was a little bit down on that game. He was 0-for-2. And he walked three times, and we lost a game on Saturday, and he was down. You know, like, he feels like he wasn't contributing. And the next day I say, dude, hold on, come here. You got on base three times. You score from second. You can steal bases. There's ways that you can dominate the game, and not everybody can do that. You know, like, if you don't hit, you're not contributing. With Mookie, if he gets on, he can run, he can play defense. So I try to remind him, dude, it doesn't matter. You show up, you're impacting the game. And that happened last year when he was hitting 340, 360, whatever, and it's happening this year. One thing for him, he's always searching. He's always searching. He's always, you know, I think Lou noticed it early in the season, you know, looking for feedback from the dugout. You don't see that often, but he was doing it. And in the dugout, you know, talking to guys and trying to find out swing. I feel, well, I said it. So I'm not going to go through that pass because I said it before, but the two-line drives 2 nights ago, one to right field, one up the middle. I think he put him in a good spot. Yesterday he goes deep to center field, but we'll see.
You know. So do you think it's fair that, you know, when you're hearing those comments, people who are identifying that are right based on his body language?
They see us a different guy compared to last year, but it's not the reason. You know, the reason that they feel that he looks that way, they're not right. I just feel that this is a kid that he's searching, he's thinking, you know, and he knows how important he is for us, and he takes it personal, you know. And some guys don't show it, others do. And in his case, you know, when you see him in the dugout just by himself, It's not that he's down, whatever. He's searching. He's thinking about what I did in that at bat. You know what? Where am I? You know, did I swing a strike? Do I need to do this? You know, so that's the case.
You know, there was a stat the other day, and you talk about the bullpen, and I think it was all the AL contenders, and you guys, I think it was 7 losses after leading after the 7th. A lot of the other teams. Tampa's 43-0. Saturday's loss. You come out Sunday, and you're facing Stroman, right? We all know the Stro show. But as you said, you know, we just kind of didn't show up here today. And I've been on teams before where the bullpen is giving up games, you're leading after 7 or 8, and I almost felt like there's a carryover. You know, and guys in that locker room, eventually you're like, God, I mean, for 7 innings, we go out there, we pitch, we execute, we score, and when we lose that game, it starts to wear on individuals. I don't know if you felt that at all on Sunday, but did you feel any of that given what happened on Saturday?
I'll be honest with you. It's funny because they asked me that question after the extra inning game in Minnesota, and I was like, what? You know, we'll be fine tomorrow. You know, like 17 innings that you play hard and whatever, and we ended up losing. The media kind of like, oh, tomorrow is, you know, they're not going to bounce back. I was the other way around. On this one, and for me, the feeling was more, okay, we blew it with the bullpen. You know, we didn't finish the game. But I feel offensively, we didn't put good at-bats halfway through the game. We had a chance to put him away. We didn't do it, and that carried over. And I knew that, Marcus coming into that game, he wanted that game.
You could tell, I think, especially screaming.
I heard it.
Everybody heard it.
He let us know.
How'd you feel about that?
I really don't. You know, I saw it. I was like, I told Nunez, I say, Nunez, you're the first big leaguer in the history of the game that you strike out and they pimp the manager. You know,
there was no, but that was right of you, right? There was no.
If he says something else, now he's lying.
It's going to be Eck next time.
Yeah.
So you think it was, point to the booth?
We'll see him in Cleveland. I think.
Yeah. Cleveland.
Well, I mean. Yeah, he should. Yeah. He should be their guy.
Yeah. So, going back to Sunday, you felt like there was maybe a little offensive carryover from the day before.
I think so. Yeah. And it's not that, you know, as far as like showing up and effort and all that. The effort is always there. This group, you know, we don't take days off like that. Preparation we don't, but sometimes, you know, like energy wise, you feel it, and it's 162 games, and that one. I was more concerned about Sunday than actually more concerned that after the 17-inning game in Minnesota.
Time for the Cumberland Farms question of the week for Alex. It was submitted by Wayne Caliendo from Stonington, Connecticut. Alex, what has been your hardest decision to make as a manager this early in the season, other than obviously accepting to come back and do this show again?
I would say last night.
The sell one, you know, the 17 strikeouts, you know, although he's, you know, he owns that record by himself in the big leagues, you know, it's just him, 17 strikeouts in 7 innings. But, you know, you start thinking about, you know, the 20, 21 strikeouts, that wasn't easy, but I think it was the best thing that, you know, for the team.
There's your Cumberland Farms question of the week, brought to you by Cumberland Farms Farmhouse Blend Ice Coffee.
No music?
No. You know what?
Ah!
You called me out on it.
See?
Road trip, forgot about the music.
Something about London. Yeah.
You know, I was going to ask you about London. You got going to London. Is there anything? Have you ever been to London?
Never.
Never?
Nah.
Do you get
business
some
trip?
I hope your per diem is double.
Are you allowed to, like, you know, go sightseeing?
Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. I just, you know, there's a gala at night, so new shoes, new tuxedo.
Oh, okay, so you got to, you know, shake some hands.
And since he's
hello,
asking
this is Alex Cora, the manager.
No, actually, you got to pack for what, 2.5 weeks? Because we go there,
Toronto,
Detroit, and,
right to the break.
And then Cleveland.
All right, does this concern you at all? Because this is a different road trip than normal. You're doing extra stuff for MLB. Guys' minds might be off here or there. Now, the Yankees are going to experience the same thing. But are you a little concerned? Do you have to have some type of...
On the way back.
Yeah.
But, you know, we these two games, we know that, you know, it is what it is. But on the way back, you know, Toronto, you know, 2 out of 3. Hey, we got 2 big series after that, too. So let's not get caught up only on London. We have to finish the first half in the right note. And then we go to Cleveland.
So real quick, because I don't know if you've addressed this or not, but David goes tonight, Price, mm-hmm. right? And just moving him to tonight, was it just health-wise, David Price, Chris Sale, keep him away from London? Guys like Porcello, Erod, get them lined up for London. It's just a different week, right? Is it just to avoid that?
And take care of them, you know, using the off days. We got 2 off days after the series. Then we got one on Monday. So they'll pitch in Toronto. They'll pitch in Detroit, too. So we'll maximize those two, you know, in those 2 series. And we feel Eduardo's throwing the ball well. Rick is throwing the ball well. And we should be okay.
Go to weei.com/manager. Submit your question, the Cumberland Farms question of the week. Ask Alex Corr every Wednesday. They speak funny over there. When you go over there to England, they just talk a little funny.
I think I'm going to use an interpreter.
That's what you need to do.
I was thinking about it. I'll say, on my press conference, an interpreter.
That'll work.
Yeah.
Good seeing you.
Go in Spanish. Yeah. I'll see you guys.
Alex Corr right here on OML.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.